Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, a couple of news and notes. Nick Faldo, Sir Nick, is stepping down. No longer going to be on the CBS broadcast. I don't know that it's effective immediately, but he's announcing his retirement. He had a full press release, in which a two-page press release, which he announced his retirement. I don't know if it's immediate or it's at the end of this season. Whatever the case may be, Nick Faldo, you will not be seeing him for very long, if that's the case, on CBS or the Golf Channel. He's retiring from both. Oliver Luck, settled. Congratulations. Big up to, but the thought is, he was looking for $24 million. The thought is he got about $20 million.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was with, he was,
USFL. XFL.
Yeah.
What was his deal where he got that much?
Oh, he got a huge. Yeah. Vince paid him big money to run the whole thing. And, then Vince made up some crap about,
Yeah. Vince has had a bad week. You see last week he's stepping down from, there's more than that. He's stepping down. There was a hush money paid to some woman inside the company. Also, I saw somebody else looked at a certain level of stocks were prematurely dumped from the WWE, like 1.2 million stocks or something. It was some crazy number, which, I guess this insider, this reporter for, he's an economic reporter or something, said, ooh, this is going to draw the attention of the authorities in position to investigate a pre-dumping of stocks. You know, that's something that is basically you're trading off of inside information, also known as insider trading. So Vince may end up having, I think we may not hear from Vince anymore. I think Vince is done.
Yeah.
I think this will cap Vince. Seemed like a really great guy. Well, always seemed like one of the nicest
guys.
He's
a businessman. You don't make a $1 billion industry.
Yeah, there's lots of businessmen.
Businessmen
who aren't all hulked up.
Well, that was his job.
His job was to wrestle at age 60-something.
Yeah, his job was his job.
Threaten Bob.
People loved him.
Bob Costas. Did you ever see that one?
No, but I'm sure. Vince versus Bob Costas. Bob Costas.
Bob Costas wasn't trying to fight him.
Well, no, Bob Costas doesn't want to fight Vince.
Well, Vince wanted to fight Bob Costas.
Well, I know, but that's because he's a bully. That's what he does. Are you kidding? Bob Costas, Charlie Pulillo's bigger than Bob Costas. What the heck? Of course he's not going to fight Vince McMahon. Hey, I'm going to, here's something that, Lance, this is breaking news. Chase Claypool says he's a top three receiver in the league.
Yeah, my kids, Snacks told me he said that yesterday because my kids know every top this list and top that list. He's like, did you know that Chase Claypool says top three? I said, what do you think, Snacks? He goes, I don't think so. I said, good. I don't have to worry about you yet because he's not even close to being a top three wide receiver in the league. I don't care what he says. He dances around with Juju. I can't take that guy seriously. You mean TikTok Claypool?
Do you think he's going to? Well, he's got Mitch Trubisky throwing to him.
If you're more famous for TikToking than anything else, then I don't know what to tell you. Look at Vince. See, I'm showing him.
Vince
right now
wants to fight Bob Costas
Vince
on his show.
Wants to fight a guy that's probably 120 pounds lighter than him. Because he's just asking
asking him XFL questions and that he
No. This is about wrestling. This is wrestling questions.
Well, he said no. He said XFL.
Oh, did it? Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, the original XFL.
Yeah. So, anyway. Whatever the case may be. Listen. Mitch Trubisky is beating up Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Probably will.
And that's probably going to be the case.
Probably will. No, no. Are we really spending time on if Chase Claypool's the top three? No. He's not a top three wide receiver.
Well, says you.
Okay, will so just be... I think about it, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and then Chase Claypool. You're right. You're right. There
is Cooper Kupp not anywhere?
No, apparently not.
Is Devontae Adams not?
Nope. It's Chase Claypool.
It's Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
Mm.
I wouldn't. Mm. I like Chase Claypool. I gave him a good grade. I think he's a talented guy. Here's the thing. I actually believe that, like Hunter Renfrow, may be more productive than Chase Claypool. They're different types of wide receivers, but Hunter Renfrow is the new Edelman. He's the new Wes Welker. Hunter Renfrow is a really good wide receiver. He's a talented wide receiver doing what he
How
does.
How many he opportunities is he going to get this year now?
Oh, he'll still get a ton of touches.
Yeah.
DC loves him. But, I mean, it's an interesting.
And he also loves Devontae.
And he's loved Waller in the past, too. Yeah, so right. It is going to be interesting to see how these.
Do they open it? How much do they open it up now?
See, I don't think Derek. I don't think Derek loves throwing to the perimeters or vertically. So the thing is, I think Devontae Adams may have some grumblings at some point this year. Derek Carr is not the type of guy that is going to be on a consistent basis throwing outside the numbers. This isn't the same arm talent, so. I think Derek has a history of liking the safer targets, which is why big tight end and Waller, who's an athlete, and slippery route runner in Hunter Renfrow, I think that's why they've gotten so many targets. Josh Jacobs has had plenty of targets out of the backfield. That's why I'm really interested. Everyone, Bryan Edwards is going to be the sneaky fantasy football option in there. I mean, Devontae's on a different level, but let's just see who loses touches, because he'll probably lock in on two guys and one of them's really going to lose touches. Maybe it'll be Renfrow. You can't imagine that it would be Devontae Adams, but I just want to see if Derek gets comfortable, or maybe if they start running Devontae Adams some from the slot, which I don't think they can do because of Waller. And I mean, I just don't see that with Waller and Renfrow. You can't really do that. So I'm curious to see how Devontae Adams, as a fantasy football owner, I have some concerns that Derek Carr and Devontae Adams may not be this incredible combination that people think it's going to be.
Yeah. 808 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776 is that was our Pittsburgh Steeler Las Vegas Raider segment right there.
Yeah, so there's Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool
pulled us off track.
Yeah.
No, he fooled us all. Outlandish claim.
He fooled us all.
I do feel bad he's had busted Ben throwing to him. And now he's going to have Trubisky and or Kenny Pickett.
Like, the way Ben threw last year, are you sure it's not going to be better this year?
No, it may be better. That's what I'm saying. His career's had busted Ben throwing to him. He's been busted for a while.
Well, on the podcast, on the pivot, they again gave the mms. As he said, I'm a top three. They said,
do you have it? Okay. Let's hear it.
My wife listens to some podcast, The Daily, where this guy says, when he hears something, he goes, when he's interviewing somebody.
Let's hear it from Chase.
I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL. I know I'm a top five receiver. Yeah. I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah,
I just got to prove to people. Right? When I'm working, I'm like, I'm a dog. Like,
Yeah, play it again. They go top five. They're like, okay. I mean, none of them believe that. But when he goes top three, that's when the.
I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL.
Talk.
I know I'm a top five receiver. Yeah. I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah.
Keep going. I just people. Right? When I'm working, I'm like,
right.
I'm a dog. Like,
when somebody tells you keep going, they're basically clowning you, and they want you to just because they're like, this is going to be a really good soundbite for us. Keep going. Say number one. Say it. Say it, Chase.
Keep going, brother.
They told him somebody said, keep going. I'm five. I'm number three. They thought, he's on a roll here. See if we can get him to number one. Nah. If you guys want to draft him as the fifth receiver, wide receiver five, go ahead. I just hope you're in a league with me. That's all I'm saying.
Who was Trey Wingo on with yesterday?
He's Wheelhouse.
He was with the Wheelhouse? Yep. All right, let's hear from Trey Wingo. He's got a couple of different things that I want to hear from. One is Deshaun. Another is about the PGA Tour and the high ground that they are taking. 8:11 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And still ahead, we got our boy Ryan Spader. I don't know if he's our boy, but he's Ryan Spader from MLB Network is going to be joining us
here. He doesn't know that he's our boy.
No, but we got this is the biggest series. Is there been more hype? I don't. Well, I guess we're hyping it up.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's been. I mean, the Mets and Yankees have played each other. I guess we're looking at it. Who the Dodgers played so far? That was a big series and got all the attention on ESPN or whatnot. This is a pretty big week. It's a pretty good week. There's with good baseball teams playing each other in the Mets and the Yankees and Astros. Those three going to be combining for 9 straight games. So we'll talk to Ryan Spader about that. Still ahead, bottom of the hour, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But we'll hear what Trey Wingo had to say on the other side.
Well, I can tell you this. Like, we're going to talk some baseball, but for those of you who have ever pitched before, played any baseball, you know that you got to have the right knee for the drive leg and the left leg, well, if you're a right-hander, for the plant leg, both of them. It requires you to have pressure and to have force on them. If you play basketball, the lateral movement, the explosive forward movement, backward movement. You play tennis. If you like to run, if you like to walk, if you like to hike, all these things. If you have knee issues, it is a real problem for you. And I haven't even gotten into the lower back issues or shoulder or hip issues that also short circuits people's activity. But QC Kinetics is here with regenerative medicine. And it's advanced, exciting, natural alternatives that can give you lasting relief. For those of you who immediately go to the steroid shots to reduce the inflammation, yeah, it's going to give you some short-term relief, but then we know what happens when it wears off. You go back to normal, and you can only have so many of those shots per year, and you're just putting Band-Aids on it. You're not actually taking care of the problem until you get your knee replacement or your hip replacement surgery. Is that what you're looking to do? Because right now I'm telling you, I've got a company who has the all-natural regenerative medicine that can help get you back to where you need to be. It helps to restore and repair damaged tissue, and it's really an opportunity for you to avoid surgery, avoid those shots, avoid the downtime, and yet come back and be as good as you've been. Feel the pain dissipate from your body, from the areas in the joints where you've had those issues. And this is something that professional athletes have used for a while. And now it's available for you as well because QC Kinetics, they have locations right here in Houston. Give them a call today, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. Set up your free consultation and find out how quickly they can make a difference. Just like Ken, who reached out to me in direct message, says his shoulder injury, the pain has gone from an 8 to a 5 immediately after one session. Just think, when he gets 2 to 3 more, just think where he's going to be. That could be you, QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. When you love someone, it's natural, not demanding. And that's one thing I'm proud to say, I found in you. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Big ups to Lamar Jackson. Showed up for minicamp.
Yeah.
He didn't show up for OTAs. He did.
They were mandatory.
No, this is mandatory.
Wait. He's going to get a deal done with them.
His mom? Way, he and his mom?
Respect the Shalimar that you're playing there. The great Jody Wiley. How are you? His mom is aging. He's got to talk to his mom, see if she can get a deal done. With
Mom, can we get a deal done?
Because the Ravens are trying to get a deal done, and they like won't even answer their calls. So maybe, I guess he just doesn't want to be a Raven. If that's the case, would you look to deal Lamar?
Would you want Lamar
or
here?
Or would you just, you could franchise him.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you can franchise. You can do it.
You can't deal Lamar. You got to franchise them, or I don't think the Ravens initially were super excited about paying the price on Lamar that it is now. Like, my guess is they don't see him as a $40 million a year quarterback.
But
slightly built, has been getting injured lately. Not really fluke. I mean, it's kind of fluky stuff. Not like, oh, he's skinny. This is why he's injured. You know, he got he got taken down by a kind of a late shot to the lower legs. But it does bother you about how long does recovery take? Is he going to deal with more of those? And of course, how consistent can he be as a passer? There's some weird gaslighting that goes on by people on social media. I don't know if gaslighting is actually the right term, but on Twitter, you'll see people say,
"I don't know what that means."
Well, so the way I'm using it is they try to make you it's technically not the right word because it's where a victim is blamed and all that stuff, but where there is an active participation by social media to make people believe something that they know is not true. Like Lamar Jackson's not a good passer. That's pretty much fact. And yet you'll have people dig into like the okay, so we heard it whenever I was in Belize. I've heard this one before, and it's really not researched. Colin Kaepernick, right? He did great his last year. He had I'll pull it up for you. Colin Kaepernick did great his last year with Chip Kelly. You kidding me? Colin Kaepernick's not a starter. This is the argument that you get. Colin Kaepernick's not a starter. Did you see Colin Kaepernick's last year? And so the story goes with Colin Kaepernick, everyone goes to, he had 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Case closed. You look a little closer, he was 1-10. His team was 27th in the league in offense. He averaged 6.8 yards per attempt and averaged 186 yards a game. Like the 16, that's the same offense that Nick Foles had a year that was astonishing. Colin Kaepernick was 16-4. Nick Foles, in that same offense, the first year he was with Chip Kelly, it's the second year everyone ends up getting smashed. Nick Foles' first year in that same offense?
Nick Foles had a great year.
That's when Nick Foles had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
It kind of tracks with what Colin Kaepernick had.
Yep.
You know, in a way, he just played it out longer. He was 8-2. Now you want to go look at him after that, 13-10, 7-10. It's been no good after that. Well, the same thing is happening right now with Lamar Jackson. There are some people who will say, I don't want to turn it into a whole segment, who will tell you, well, look at this stat or this stat. Lamar is actually a really good quarterback. I mean, a really good passer. Well, Lamar's not actually a really good passer. This really good passer is...
He's productive, but he's not a good... He's not a really good
passer. He's productive, but he's inefficient as a passer and has some bad interceptions. The really good passers over the last, you know, several years have been Drew Brees out of the league, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Peyton's been gone for a while. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers. There's a smaller amount of really good passers, and only kind of recently has Matthew Stafford really come in
as
a really good passer. Pat Mahomes, obviously. Lamar is on a... I would say Lamar is on a tier that's a little lower, if I had to predict it as a passer, then I would say Deshaun Watson's ahead of Lamar Jackson as a passer. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But what you can't eliminate, and there's so many people get worried about code, you know, dog whistles or coded signaling. And guys, he's a dual threat quarterback. He's a runner. It's what makes him special is we've never seen anybody who can run like that other than Vic. But Lamar is a guy who's running for 1,000 yards as a quarterback. This is not hard for him to do. It's what makes him special. The question is, how long can you last when that's a big part? That's like somebody who dunks a lot and is really athletic in basketball, but they don't develop as a shooter, as a perimeter shooter, because when the athleticism's gone, what do you have to fall back on? So how long can you play? That's why everyone says it's so important for quarterbacks to learn to, quote-unquote, win from the pocket, because eventually your speed or athleticism,
right.
For Cam Newton, you know, he got beat up. Can he win from the pocket? How do you win from the pocket? With your mind, with your eyes, with your decision-making, and with your accuracy. And I think that's what Lamar... I don't know that he's ever going to be a great passer, but that's not necessarily like I want guys. When I wrote him up, I realized because I wrote him up at a time where I was, you know, heavily involved with Astro stuff. And I realized this is Lamar is like it's like baseball where you realize, you know what? We're okay with strikeouts as long as we're hitting a lot of home runs.
Right.
I'm okay with strikeouts.
Well, and you know what? Actually, that is a way.
That's the way baseball figured it out.
20-plus yard plays, if you have explosive plays,
yeah.
Actually, you can take the strikeout.
There's no question. So that's when I realized when I was writing up Lamar, wait a minute.
the strikeouts, baseball figured out this is not really relevant, strikeouts, as much as we thought when you're hitting home runs and you're scoring runs. It's the same thing with running quarterbacks. If you're making enough explosive plays and chunk plays, no matter how they come, then that mitigates. There's a sliding scale. Like, I don't need your completion percentage to be as high. I don't want turnovers, but I don't care if you're completing 68%. If you're Lamar Jackson, complete 62% for me, as long as you're running.
Yep. Right, right.
Because who else is doing that? Is Tom Brady running? No. Right. Matthew Stafford? No.
No. No, no, no. You're getting that much more. All right, let's get to this Trey Wingo thing we teased. And let's move it to Deshaun Watson, RJ. So Trey Wingo thinks he's going to get a lengthy suspension. And he says, listen, forget about that whole criminal thing. Forget about that criminal thing. Because you're in a workplace, and the workplace is the NFL, and the NFL can decide what your punishment is going to be.
But, you know, I hear people, a lot of people say, well, you know, he wasn't charged with anything. You can get fired from your job for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with committing a crime, right? You can do a lot of things at your workplace, and someone like, yeah, that's not cool. We don't want that here. So let's throw out that argument right away. It has nothing to do with whether or not there's a criminal element. It has something to do with whether or not the behavior is perceived to be something that is tolerated while you're a member of a certain organization.
And his behavior is not going to be tolerated. Trey said he expects a lengthy suspension for Deshaun Watson. I think we all do. I think a year now. Now that the NFLPA, though, has gotten involved, we've never seen the NFLPA involved in deciding a suspension. We've seen them appeal suspensions before, but now it looks like the NFL and the NFLPA are going to be working together on what Deshaun. So I fully expect it to be less than a year now, because it's going to be a negotiated thing. I'm getting more towards 10 to 12 games because the NFLPA is involved in the process before the decision is made. I can certainly see them arguing for Deshaun to have less than a year.
I don't know that the NFL can do that at this point. I think that New York Times piece is so damning that I guess you could go year and then you could, but if the NFL and the NFLPA are negotiating or discussing this, then there's not going to be an appellate process. It's going to be something that they've already worked out.
Right.
And because they don't want to slow it down by having the appellate process,
right.
The league wants him to start his penalty. Maybe 10. It's not six.
It's not six.
It's going to be
higher. No, it's going to be more than anybody's gotten.
I think eight would be the lowest and would be somewhat surprising, but I think they would also, what the league could be saying is, we want Deshaun Watson to go to real therapy, not one. He already says he's going to people who are helping. He had some kind of ridiculous answer when asked about it by the Cleveland media. But I think they are, I don't know. Maybe they want some unprecedented because of the way, maybe they're contacting him because of the way the money is funneled into year two. Maybe the NFL wants him to pay a fine, and they want to levy a fine that is not collectively bargained.
And that's another thing. It could be 10. It could reduce it from 17 games down to 10 or 12 games. But we're going to throw on a fine too, because you're circumventing the entire system here with your contract this year. And then Ryan Spader's going to join us at the bottom of the hour here. Trey Wingo was on with the Wheelhouse Boys yesterday, and he also talked about the PGA Tour. If you haven't heard, Brooks Koepka moving over to the LIV Tour. Here's what Trey Wingo had to say about the PGA Tour and LIV.
Obviously, the big problem with LIV Golf is where the money's coming from. But I got to say, I thought the PGA Tour's sort of approach to that question of it, especially when Commissioner Jay Monahan was on with CBS and Jim Nantz at the Canadian Open last Sunday, I thought it was a little heavy-handed. Like, you know, he said, let me just ask you this. When have you ever been embarrassed about being a member of the PGA Tour? Well, I can think of a few things over the years that weren't really great for the PGA Tour, and they've modified them over the years. But to ask a point-blank question like that, saying we've never had a problem, that's really bogus. And it's a quick Google search, okay, to find the list of PGA Tour's partners and how many of them do business in Saudi Arabia. So I think that the PGA Tour just better be careful here, because don't pretend to have the moral high ground.
That's Trey Wingo yesterday with the Wheelhouse guys. Yeah, the moral high ground. It is a slippery slope that everybody's on with this LIV Golf thing. That's for sure. 8:28. When we come back, we are going to have Ryan Spader with us here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk about the series coming up for your Houston Astros. Right now, though, we got to talk about patios.
Texas Custom Patios says anything that you can conceive of, we can achieve for you. We can build it for you. We can build out patios, outdoor living spaces, outdoor kitchens. It's really amazing what they do. They take a design, they build it into their CAD system, they develop a lifelike rendering, they show it to you, you know exactly what it's going to look like. They set up a price that is your exact price. It will not move no matter what. No matter what happens with, you know, the cost of the supplies, no matter what happens with issues, if they have to redo something, it really doesn't matter. Whenever they set their price up, they set their price up, and that's how they operate. So you know exactly what, you know, you need to have a budget for. They can, if you really want to blow it out, they can finance it for you as well. You say, I want to get 3 TVs, I want this badass kitchen, I want this, I want that. They can do that for you. It doesn't matter. I can just tell you that even something that is more simple, like I have, which is creating new space for me, is something that is immensely enjoyable and has added a ton of value to my home. Dollar for dollar value is what a real estate agent told me recently. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Live your best life. Turn your house into a home with my friends over at Texas Custom Patios. Outdoor living, pool houses, outdoor kitchens, they do it all. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Back again like I never left. Had to take a breath because Nikki been f***ing with me hardcore. God
damn. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. Bringing in Ryan Spader, baseball analyst with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a week we've got going here, Ryan. I don't know if you've been paying attention to going forward here. The Astros got 9 against the Mets and the Yankees over these next 11 days. So we're really excited about baseball. What do you think? What do you think about this stretch for the Astros right here?
First of all, I'm excited. I think this is the first time I've ever done a radio show on 2 different stations. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's pretty cool. And, I think the Astros got a lot ahead of them right here. It's definitely going to be tough over the, upcoming 9 games. It's going to be a challenge for them.
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge, but it's also – this is something that I actually like, Ryan. I think every year in baseball, it's a long schedule. We know that there's basically multiple seasons inside of a single season, and they all take on a different life of their own depending on hot streaks, cold streaks, injuries, things like that. But I do feel like there's always areas of a season where good teams are tested and they have their opportunities to really get a feel for not only who they are, but to tell other teams who they are. Do you feel like that? Is that overstating it for this 9-game run with the Astros taking on, you know, their own arch enemy, the New York Yankees, and also the upstart Mets?
It's funny for me to hear you say that the Yankees are the arch enemies of the Astros, because a couple of years ago, you probably wouldn't have ever heard that. But I don't think you're overstating what you're trying to say here, because when you look at baseball, the season is 10 times longer than the NFL season, and I think you can take a group of games and essentially measure it just the same as you would an NFL game. And I think that you go through, you know, a bad stretch of games. The Phillies just recently, I'm a Philly guy, Phillies just recently won 14 of 16. And you'd think that's excellent, right? But in essence, it's the same as winning just one game in the NFL season. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good stretch. That's a big stretch. Finally playing good teams. We were talking about it earlier. The Astros really – the West is so bad, Ryan, the AL West. So the Astros really haven't been tested all that much. They've had a couple of series. They had a series with Toronto. They had a series with Boston. But otherwise, you know, this is a pretty good test. But the Yankees really, other than, you know, playing the AL East, and they had a series against Minnesota, which were they won 2 out of 3. And they basically, they haven't been tested all that well either. These two teams don't like each other, the Yankees and the Astros. The Astros have been their daddy in the postseason. So, honestly, but this Yankee team is different than one we've seen in a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I saw a stat recently that, not one that I came up with, but I saw that this Yankees team actually has won 50 games faster than any team since the 2001 Mariners, which really tells you how good they're doing this season, because that Mariners team went on to win over 110 games, and you know, they have the potential to win more games than any team in history, really, at this point.
Yeah, no, and this is, I mean, they can, they're pitching is fantastic, and their offense is fantastic. If they don't do it now, I know Cashman was crying about the Astros in 2017. They're still in front. Stop. If they don't win it this year, though, I can certainly say, especially with the Judge situation, right? How do you see that Judge contract situation playing out?
So I don't know if you guys have seen some of the things that have been put out on Twitter. Now, look, I'm a firm believer that the Astros were not the only team to do it in, 2017 or 2018, whatever the hell.
2017, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that that's not the case. I'm also a firm believer that the Yankees this year may be seeing different baseballs than the rest of Major League Baseball. I mean, we got Judge with 25 homers. We have Rizzo with 18 homers. I'm sorry, but I'm throwing up a big question mark there.
Well, and Matt Carpenter's 6 home runs in 8 hits. Out of his 8 hits, 6 of them are home runs.
It's all a little bit, you know, it deserves to be questioned. That I'm not saying it definitely, but we should probably look at this stuff at a different angle. Maybe look at the percentage of baseballs hit by the Yankees that have between, I don't know, a 30 and a 33 degree launch angle and 105 mile per hour exit velocity, and compare that to the rest of the league. I think it should all be questioned at this point. I'm not personally somebody who's, you know, big into conspiracy theories or anything like that, but I think in this case we can look at the Yankees and say, you know, maybe something's a little bit different with them than compared to the rest of the league. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm for it.
I'll
push it for you. Yep. If you need, I'm certainly for that. Who's going to be the are you sensing a team that is a disappointing team that is going to be where we need to start looking at the roster to find out who the names are going to be that are going to be available come trade deadline? Or are we getting to that point now where we can start to sniff around on certain pitchers and hitters?
So, you know, I always look to the anytime I get that question, I always default to the Marlins, because it seems like every couple years they kind of do like a fire sale. And right now they just have starting pitchers that are phenomenal. And the team is underperforming, it goes without saying. But But you got guys like Pablo Lopez, Trevor Rogers, who has been pitching not all that well this year. But you also got Sandy, I always mess up his last name, Sandy Alcantara. They just have starting pitching out the wazoo. And right now with the Astros struggling with their rotation because, you know, we haven't even gotten a start out of McCullers this year. I definitely think that's a place that they'll look.
Absolutely. Plus, I would say center field as well, that the Astros have to look at. That Jake Myers is, we haven't seen him yet, and there's certainly been no hitting. There's been no hitting behind the plate either for the Astros with Maldonado and Castro. And first base has been an issue too. But we haven't seen the Astros pick up any hitting at before the deadline. They've always been picked up pitching. But if the Braves taught us anything last year, Ryan, go get some hitting and you can win it all.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw it with the Braves last year when they went and got a Jorge Soler, and they ended up, of course, not holding on to him. But I think the Astros' focus this year would be a starting pitcher. That's kind of where I'm at with the team. But you know, it's always possible that they could go out and get somebody like a Josh Harrison. I think that, maybe not necessarily him, but somebody who can fill multiple roles, can play a little bit of infield, a little bit of outfield, and can spark the team. We saw it years ago when, you know, unfortunately beat the Astros, but we saw it with the Nationals when they got Howie Kendrick, and mm-hmm. that man could play every single position on the diamond.
Well, he helped beat
really
the
well for that team.
Helped them win a World Series against the Astros. That Will Harris pitch. Yep. Yeah, that happened. It's Ryan Spader, baseball analyst, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we've seen the Red Sox and the Braves both turn it around because they both started pretty slow, but even though the Braves went on that tear, they're still. This Mets team is pretty damn good. Still 5.5 back. How do you see that division playing out?
You know, so I'm going to be a homer here, and I'm going to say the Phillies are going to come and steal it from everybody. Now, it's funny because I mentioned earlier the Phillies won 14 of 16, and they've got to be. This is not a stat that I've yet looked up, but I'm confident in saying this. They've got to be the only team in history to win 14 of 16 and not gain any ground on a team that's ahead of them in the division. And that's the Braves. And so I really think that's going to be your proverbial dogfight in the NL East. And I think you're going to see all of those teams with close to 90 wins this season. So, but I'm going to be a homer and take the Phillies coming up from the end.
So they made the right decision with Girardi, apparently, huh?
You know, it's funny because I was saying on Twitter that the Phillies made the wrong move ever since the last time I did MLB Network. I gave Girardi a knife hand is what we call it. I was in the Marine Corps, and we call it a knife hand. I gave him a knife hand and corrected him on something. And I think that ever since then, he just hasn't recovered.
Well, yep. Well, they're doing a heck of a lot better without him. That's for sure. That's Ryan Spader right here on ESPN. Well, good luck with your Phillies, man. They're playing good baseball. We'll see if they can keep it up.
Yeah, and you guys are going to have to forgive me, and your audience will have to forgive me. I just tested positive for the COVID here a moment ago before I joined with you guys.
Oh, no.
And I wanted to make sure that I still gave you the time that I promised.
Well, we really appreciate that, Ryan. Thanks for making time for us. And
yeah, I'm sure you can hear it in my voice.
Yeah, get well.
Get well.
Yeah, go rest.
I'm fine.
All right, we'll appreciate it. Ryan Spader. Baseball analyst right here, ESPN 97.5. All right. A little site chat is what we got to talk about now.
We're talking about a company who's been building websites in the Houston area for over two decades, 24 years to be exact. And when I say building websites, I mean, that's initially what they did. What they do now, it's an entire suite of products that's designed to help your small to medium-sized business capture eyes, hold the eyes, interact with your product, and then convert those eyes and that those customers into leads that turn into real business for you. And the best way to do that is by having them build a site on the front end, the back end. They can do e-commerce. They can do video shoots and integrate those videos into your website so that people get the best idea of who you are and what your portfolio of work looks like. And it really doesn't matter what your business is. SiteJab can help paint you in the most positive light. All you have to do is go to SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. You can set up your free consultation there, and they will go through everything with you. Most of their work now is done remotely, where they don't even have to be in front of you at all. They can just work with you through Zoom meetings, through phone calls, whatever the case may be, to get your website perfect. But if you do need them in person and you want to be right there with them, they do that for you as well. Very reasonably priced, and what you get is your best opportunity to put your best foot forward against the competition. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Interesting stuff, Ryan Spader. Ryan Spader been on our show before. Ryan Spader came out when we were talking about the Astros scandal and accused major league teams, multiple major league teams, of high-end cheating, and was and actually tweeted it out, I believe. Well, he was on our show, and we tweeted it.
He's been aggressive.
Yeah, he was very aggressive.
No, we got
and
him
he
on
got
because
he got slapped by Major League Baseball.
He basically came out and said other teams are cheating. He knows for a fact. He's talked to the people. And then he was basically told to cool it. And he got very nervous about it.
Yeah.
And didn't want to really talk about it too much more after our, I think after he, we tweeted out what he said. I don't know what it was, but he was on the air. So, yeah, it was the same guy.
Yeah.
We had him for this one was a, like,
he walked it back hard because Major League Baseball came after him. And he, and on Twitter, he was saying, listen, I don't have any evidence. I overspoke and blah, blah, blah. Major League Baseball must have come at him hard with their lawyers.
Well,
now,
somebody did.
Now, fast forward to last segment, he dropped on us that the Yankees are using different baseballs.
And apparently, this is what he's been saying on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
This has been an issue. Like, he's been fighting people about this. Well, Ryan Spader just confirmed what we all thought for the last month. The Yankees are getting live balls every game they play in, said Chris Andrews.
Well, the Yankees' power numbers are... It's night and day with the. I mean, they're just. It's just silly how good the Yankees are and how. Of course, listen. The Astros got. I was pissed the other night talking about a 355-foot home run to left field. How it was the only ballpark. Who was it? What was her name? She tweeted out Marley Rivera. She said the only ballpark that would have been out in is Minute Maid. That's so not true.
For Dubon, you mean?
No, somebody, yeah, Dubon's.
Yeah, that's not true. Not at 355.
Not 355. And then, I don't know, what's this? Patrick Storm was like, only four ballparks in America. Ugh, whatever. 355 to left field is out everywhere, okay?
Well, that's not according to the data they have. Where he hit it. Because he didn't hit pull, dead pull. Left.
It wasn't dead pull, but it was still pulled.
It was pulled. But they do have tracking that kind of tells them stuff. Now, that was surprising to me because they said, what I saw is it would have only been out in like two stadiums. That felt weird.
I saw four, and I'm going to tell you this. How about the wind blowing out at Wrigley? Okay, forget about it. And oh, by the way, you're going to criticize Astros home runs? The easiest place to hit a home run in baseball
Yankee Stadium.
Is Yankee Stadium,
yep.
Right field. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close to the Crawford boxes. So, I mean, it just I don't want to hear it. Now, I mean, Ryan's probably going to catch it. There might be a reason that Ryan is no longer touting himself as MLB Network, because after his statements last year, quite possibly he's been, you know, slapped around by Major League Baseball, and he's no longer part of the MLB Network team, because, quite frankly, he's not afraid to say stuff like this, like with the Yankees baseballs,
yeah,
like with the cheating.
Gotta be careful. I don't love conspiracy theories in real life and politics and all that stuff. So in sports, too, I get saying something like that, but you do have to be careful of basically saying Major League Baseball's they're basically conspiring to fix games. What else are you saying?
Well, you're getting preferential treatment to the biggest market.
You're giving them an opportunity to hit a different
baseball.
Well,
the other team gets to hit those balls, too.
You didn't say that.
No, well, they're in that game, so they're obviously getting...
Why didn't Major League Baseball give them the other balls?
Well, you mean the ump gets certain Yankee balls and then...
I mean, we didn't follow up on it. Ryan might have told
us. We are in a society where you don't think that if what's the terrible umpire's name? Gosh, dog.
Angel
Hernandez. You don't think if Angel Hernandez was here are the Yankees balls and here, you don't think Angel would come out and go,
Angel would snitch.
Look,
I don't think there's separate baseballs, but if there are, yeah, it'd be introduced for one game and both teams would be able to hit it. But I just think you got to be careful with making, like, that's not something I don't think you want to co-op. If you're somebody national and you're saying basically that Major League Baseball is intentionally cheating, this is a league that has really turned a blind eye to steroids when they knew what was going on. Oh. It's a league that has turned a blind eye to some of the cheating that went on, but they were able to circle the Astros and saying, bad guys, everyone else, good guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they really want that. Like, that's a strong statement to say Major League Baseball has a separate set of baseballs for a team that is considered, you know, one of a team that frankly is considered Major League Baseball's biggest product. That's a strong comment to make. You can make it on my show. That's fine. We'll talk about it. But I think you better be careful with going too hard in the paint on that one. I don't think you're going to see anybody on ESPN co-signing that.
No, I ain't even. It's interesting. I mean, maybe we should tweet it out. Ryan Spader on our show.
Ryan did it again.
Ryan's back at it.
Another radio host is listening. He's like, he thought for sure he was just woken up. Maybe. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. He just found out he's got COVID.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, what the heck?
He said, Yankees balls are different. That's a good bit. I don't know if that's a bit.
I'm not sure.
I think
sure.
He believes it. Honestly, I think he believes it.
I'm
also very naive. Like, do you know that I watch Sixth Sense with my kids? So I have my kids watch Sixth Sense. I was looking through some of my movies to see what I could watch with them. Last week, and I said, you know what? Sixth Sense, M. Night Shyamalan, we'll watch this. It's me and my wife, and my wife didn't watch it. It was me and Alec and Mason and Maddie and Snacks. And Mason immediately, oh, yeah, he's the dead guy. Oh, he's dead. He's dead people. He's dead. Like, he put everything together. And I realized, you know, Maddie and Mason, he didn't say it loud enough for the other two to hear. And Sebastian and that's Snacks. Sebastian and Mariana, my daughter, they were fooled like I was in the theater when they realized, oh my gosh, Bruce Willis has been dead this entire time. Mason picked it up about 15 minutes into the movie.
Really?
He'd never seen it. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I think what happens is I think kids now are way more cynical just in general because they deal with a lot more. They deal with conspiracy theories. They deal with, I mean, that's the norm. People, conspiracy theories, people talking about conspiracy theories, social media, YouTube, the internet. I just think it's a way different time for kids now versus even 20 years ago when I think you're more naive. Like, I came up with a generation that is just more naive. Your first thoughts aren't the worst thoughts.
Yeah, right.
Like, I didn't just think everyone in baseball is using steroids. That just wasn't my thought. That just wasn't my initial thought. So Sometimes I have to check myself and think, I'm sitting here thinking, come on, Ryan, that's ridiculous. Maybe Ryan's the one. If you would have told me the Astros had some type of trash can situation where that you had told me, I'm like, what? They're hitting trash cans to tell you what pitches are coming. I say that right now knowing for a fact that on our baseball team, I wasn't on this varsity team. John Harris's dad, Johnny Harris, our Johnny Harris. John Harris's dad was a baseball coach. He was a third base coach, and he could pick up what a catcher was doing. And if catcher was open too wide with his legs and he could see one or two, fastball, curveball, rip it was a fastball, slap it was a curveball. And he'd be like, come on, let's rip it. And he's telling the hitter which pitch is coming.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's just baseball, right? Taking pitches. But that's like finding pitches and relaying to hitters is not something that's crazy. It's been done a lot. But if you had told me the whole Astros system, I would have said, no way. So maybe I'm just crazy, and Ryan Spader's right. You know, I never think anybody in basketball is – why does basketball never get hit with – the players don't look the same now, but why did basketball never get hit with steroid accusations during the steroid era? Why did Karl Malone – was he just – I know Karl Malone's not a small guy, but nobody in basketball used steroids?
Could well have – I mean
– in the 90s, no one?
The
really? During the heaviest steroid period, at least it felt like it, with baseball, nobody in basketball thought, I'll get an advantage, when it was the bullies like Charles Oakley and Larry Johnson and Anthony Mason. And bigs were bigs back in the day. None of those guys got bigger, used at all.
Okay, I thought there was always suspicion about Karl Malone. Always.
Yeah. I mean, he was huge.
Yep.
He was big coming out of La Tech, too.
Yeah, but not, you can also not get the bigger. Way he muscled up. All right, 859 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Going over some stats that we need to look for tonight against the Mets right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, what about a little insurance?
TGS Insurance is where you need to be shopping for your homeowner's insurance. Listen, if you are not getting competitive rates for your homeowner's insurance, that is a major, major, major red flag for me, because it tells me that you may not have great street smarts. What is the best way to get a good price? Get to create some competition. And if you don't have competitive pricing, this is a dirty little secret. Homeowners insurance, when you stay at the company a second year, you're not going to get a competitive rate. Their rate goes up automatically, and that's pretty much all there is to it. It's a matter of how much is it going to go up. With TGS Insurance, you text the word money to 232323, and they've got these A-rated insurance companies waiting to make aggressive competitive rates for your homeowner's insurance. The great thing is they've got an algorithm set up where they get instantaneous quoting, and so you get your price back within 15 seconds. So you text the word money to 232323, and within 15 seconds, you are going to get a price back on a competitive rate for A-rated insurance. The average savings, $900 annually. Text the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save